Hi, and welcome to part two of Custom Gestures End-to-End with Kinect and Visual Gesture Builder. I'm Ben Lauer alongside Angela Hillier. And if you are just joining us for this video, you haven't watched part one, we're going to skip over a lot of things, so you might be confused. Keep that in mind. Part one is posted, so look at the bottom here of the page. You can find the link to part one. But in this part two, we're going to talk about advanced gestures. So as a refresher, part one, we talked about creating custom gestures. We really looked at the differences between heuristic and machine learning approaches. We showed Kinect Studio in detail, how to go in, how to set up the sources, how to record, what you do with those clip files. Then how do we pull those into Visual Gesture Builder? How do we create a project? How do we tag clips? And then we looked, of course, at compiling the gesture database and using it inside of an app. So we're not going to cover any of that ground again. We're going to get right in here to part two. We're going to look at the differences between discrete and continuous gestures. You may remember in part one, we talked about there's a couple different algorithms available in VGB. That is definitely pertinent here. We're going to look at really in detail creating continuous gestures. Part one, we really looked at the the discrete gesture. Yeah, were they standing or seated or not? And now we're going to look at a continuous gesture where we can get progress. We're going to then look at the newly released feature called auto tagging clips, which is really great. If you're tagging a lot, you can use the auto tagger to get, what would you say the percentage? 90% of the way there?
Oh, you know, about, it depends on how good your database is that you start with.
Depends on how good your initial tagging was.
It gets better and better as you
yep.
go.
But. Yep. So, but it's going to save people a ton of work there. Yeah. And then we are going to look at some tips and techniques just in general at the end. So with that, Angela, I'll turn it over to you to cover the differences.
All right. So, your typical gesture is the discrete gesture, and that's what we covered before. This is about 80 to 90% of your gestures will be discrete. They're true false, like Boolean. Either the gesture is happening or it's not. Whereas continuous gestures, well, they're either a combination of gestures or they are made to track the progress of a single gesture. A lot of times developers will use this to track or to tie with animation in their application. This signal is a float value that is returned, and it's always running. So whether the gesture is valid or not, you're going to get a value. And typically the value ranges from 0 to 1. You can change that, but we like to have like 0 for, you know, it's not happening, to 1, you're 100% of the way done with progress.
Yep.
A lot of times, so discrete gestures, when you're making them, you want to break them down into really simple pieces. So if you have like a more complex gesture like Hadouken, where you start with your hands together, that's like maybe one gesture where it's in a pose, and then there's a motion forward, that's going to be another gesture, and then opening of the hands, which will be a third gesture. So you would break down a complex gesture into three parts, such as that. But you could use a continuous gesture and one continuous gesture to map all the entire motion, so that I'd have 0% is here going through until 100% fully open and extended.
So you're a Street Fighter fan?
A little bit, yeah. Gaming background, anyway. Yeah. So in discrete gestures, you have a confidence value. And basically, you use that to determine if your gesture should fire or not. In continuous gestures, you don't have a confidence value. Again, you always have this float value coming out. So in order to know if it's valid or not, you should tie it with a discrete gesture. So in the Hadouken example, I might have one big continuous gesture that maps the progress. But in order to know if it's valid, I need to be listening to the other three and make sure that at least one of those, you know, is firing and true. So that's the general overview of discrete versus continuous. And now we're going to go into a demo of continuous gestures. First, I want to show you actually what they look like when running, though. So let me, we'll fire up
So you can't see this in the video here, but right off to Angela's left, there is a Kinect V2 sensor, and it's pointed at her. And so now I'm just going to switch over to the computer screen so you can see what the Kinect is seeing.
So what I'm going to do is, this is a little sample database that shifts with the VGB view. And what you're seeing is right now that it's a steering database. And if I steer left, the steer left in the upper left corner will fire. So if I move back and forth, steering my fake steering wheel to the left, you'll see spikes happening.
Right.
If I steer to the right, you're going to see more spikes happening. And if I steer straight, the bottom right goes almost all the way to
wow.
one.
Yeah, 100% saying, hey, practically there the whole
time. You're steering straight. Now, the interesting thing to watch is the bottom left corner. That is your continuous gesture. So it's named steer progress in this example. When I'm steering straight, the value is 0.5. So that's the float value that's coming out of it. When I steer left, it drops to zero. So as you see, I'm going by, it goes from 0.5 down to zero the further I steer my wheel. So if I go slow, the progress will go.
Okay.
Yep. And then if I steer right, it's going to jump all the way to one.
So one thing I just want to remind our viewers of here, in case it's been some time since I've looked at this, is in the left of the window, that's actually Angela's silhouette as shown by the Kinect, and we can see her skeleton is showing up here with these sort of pink lines and the dots. Mm-hmm. So again, using VGB does require skeleton data.
Yes.
And then we're just looking, and so I just want to make sure I understand something you said a moment ago, is that we would, in our actual game and use of these gestures, we would probably look at multiple combinations of these. Like, hey, did we detect a steer left, and then look at the progress?
So for me, for example, if I were to use the steering wheel in a game, if the user is not steering the wheel, let's say I have my hands off the wheel, well, look, there's still values that are coming in on the steer progress. In fact, if my hands are open, it's still firing. Uh-huh. But none of the discrete gestures are firing. And so what I would do in that case is I would either disable the steer progress value until one of those became true, and then I would enable it, or I would just basically ignore the signal until one of the other ones were true.
Great.
All right. So we are going to go ahead and kill VGB view.
Oh, don't kill it.
Oh, well, sorry. You're gonna... Close it. Not harsh words for this. And we're going to swap over using our database. So we are going to start with a sit and stand gesture, which in part one we had trained a seated gesture. So when you're sitting, it could tell if you're sitting. This one's just a little more advanced, where it has two gestures. It has a sit gesture and it has a stand gesture, but it also has a progress gesture that we want to look at. So I'm going to open this up. Oh, it doesn't know what VGB is.
Yeah, I didn't map the the extension.
All right,
there.
So we'll open VGB first. Wait for him to open.
So we're just going to open. We're going to open that
open
solution file.
Yep, and then we're going to go to file, open solution. We're going to go to not C drive. What drive did I get it put under? D drive. Okay, and then choose the sit and stand and open the solution file. So it's going to go ahead and load all of our projects. So in this one, like I mentioned, we have multiple projects. We've got our basic sit one. We'll just take a quick look at the gestures here. So what you'll notice, what I've tagged, this is your discrete gesture. When I'm completely seated in the chair, the value is true. And then as soon as my bottom leaves the chair, there, it'll go false. So as soon as I'm starting to stand up, it's false.
Okay. And one thing that I want to just highlight here for the audience is this wasn't immediately clear to me when I started looking at VGB, and it's that these files here on the screen. So if we take a look there, mm-hmm. we've got sit and stand with sort of the yellow cylinder, and that represents the project,
the solution.
The solution.
Yeah,
that's the right terminology.
Yeah.
And then we have multiple projects in there. So we have sit, and then we have sit.a, which is then the corresponding analysis project. Mm-hmm. And then we have a project for sit progress, and we have another one for stand. And so each of those individual projects can have clips associated with it, and each of those projects then represents its own gesture. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so then, because you and I were talking about this right before we started the camera, because I was asking some questions about this, and so it's really that I can then go in and I can preview just the sit if I want to do that. But if I compile the entire solution or the at the top level, I'll get all of these then sub projects combined into a single database file that I can then use in my app.
Yeah, so if you right-click on the project level, you're going to get a build option. So, for example, we'll right-click here. I've got a build option. If I build this on the project level, it's only going to build that project, so that one single gesture. So I would get a .gba file, which only had sit in it.
Okay.
Now, if I want to build all of the gestures in this collection, then I would build at the solution level. And again, you would just right-click at the solution level. Now you've got build just a bit further down. That's going to go through and build every single one. Of course, build times can take a long time, so if you're only interested in honing one gesture, then it's really good to only, you know, be able to build the one. Also, I think the documentation goes over this a bit more. We won't touch a lot, but there are command line tools available that allow you to split pre-existing gesture databases uh-huh. and join them together. So, you know, just because you have a certain set of, you know, a collection here doesn't mean that's, you know, the way it has to be forever or in your game. If you want to only have like a collection of 10 and then another collection of 4, but you're pulling from the same databases, you can do that.
Yeah. Okay. So. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for explaining that, because I don't think we explained that in part one. And I know that as I've been using VGB more, I'm kind of like, oh, wait, how do I get more gestures in here? And how does it all work? So thanks for explaining that.
Yeah. So just create new projects whenever you want a new gesture. All right, so we covered sit. So what we're going to look at is actually the sit progress gesture. And we'll take a look real quick at, you know, what this one looks like. So this is a really simple continuous gesture in that it's mapping the progress of a single discrete gesture. So it's only tied to one gesture here. And what I want to see is, well, actually, it's an in-between. So what happens is, while I'm standing, and as I decide to start sitting down, it's going to show the progress of that sit motion. So I said, I marked it as 0 when I'm fully standing, and then 1 when I'm seated.
Okay.
And you can see the values in the upper right corner under the properties. You'll have the sit progress at the top, and it'll say 1 there. If you can use the control arrow keys, you can jump really quickly between the keyframes, which are the little gray squares on the screen. And that's a real quick way to just look at your data. For example, I can this one has a halfway point, and you'll look at the value at 0.5. So I can say, oh, am I, you know, halfway there?
Did you put that halfway point yourself manually?
Yes. So this one I did. So if I wanted to add it to this one, it doesn't have a halfway point. I could just go in and then press the 5 key.
Uh-huh.
The values, you know, 1 through 9 will represent 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, so that's a really quick way. And then if you actually wanted to adjust it up or down, you can use the arrow keys as well to move that keyframe up or down. And you'll see how the value's increasing again under the properties panel.
So then when you set that first keyframe at 50%, Were you just sort of eyeballing? You're looking at the infrared data and you're saying, hey, the chair's here, and when I'm standing, my hips are here, and I'm just kind of eyeballing the halfway point, or how are you making that judgment call?
So, as with all gestures, you want to come up with a way to be consistent about your tagging. So I think when I did it, I wanted to see where are my hips, you know, almost aligned with the chair here. So as soon as my hips, like I find a nice reference point, which is the chair arm.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, they're pretty much aligned, you know, and I'm going to mark that as halfway.
Okay.
So
it sounds like the tip is pick something that makes sense and then just be consistent.
Yeah, try to be consistent. And then we'll go, I'm going to quickly delete this, these gestures so I can show you how to manually do it from scratch. So we'll go control shift. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out. Where's my home key? Home, shift, and delete will remove everything.
Okay.
And then we're going to go through and really quick. So I use the arrow keys to single step. And I think we revealed this last time, but let me just show you again, remind you that there are some hints for the keyboard shortcuts hidden under that screen. So if you need to move it up until you have them memorized, do it. So I use the arrow keys to go on. And I'm going to find the first frame where it looks like I'm going to be starting
to
sit down.
It's
got to
be soon.
Down.
You just spotted your landing. You're like, where am I sitting? Is the chair still there?
Look behind me. Make sure no one pulled the chair out. And it looks like I'm about starting to lean forward in a sit. So once I start doing that, I'm going to press the space key. And that's going to get me the first keyframe.
Could you also hit zero there?
Actually, let's go ahead and... I can't delete that. So... I forget. This is retarded. For deleting keyframes, individual keyframes, it's a little hard. So if we go through here... Let's just do one for fun. No, zero is not
so
accepted.
Space is sort of the beginning point. Okay.
And... Oh, and he didn't like that at all. So we may have found another bug.
Yay!
Did not like the zero key.
That's what we
want to
find
before
we ship the product. Is we want to find any bugs.
Exactly. Hello, desktop.
So the repro on that was
hit the zero key.
Hit space, go back, hit zero like mad, and then it sort of.
It's like, don't hit the zero key. At least not with the current build.
Well, that was interesting.
All right, now we're going to reopen him and hope that everything's in order. File, open solution. Really, I just wanted to, you know, double check that everyone knows how to open a solution. And we're going to go back to our SIT progress file in the clip. So it did not save my delete, so we're going to go ahead and say... shift and delete to clear it out. Now what we're actually going to do, because I do want it to save, is move off of the clip file, and it will ask you if you want to save.
Okay.
So then when I move back onto that clip file, it will be nice blank slate for me. So now we're going to go through, spotted my landing. So, okay, there we go. And I like to, you know, kind of hold down the arrow key and go quickly through a clip, but once I spot the area that I need to be tagging, I go back and forth with the arrow keys until I find the exact frame that I want to start tagging. And this one for me, like my shoulders kind of move forward in this pose, mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's a good one that I can try to look for, you know, consistently. So I'm going to press the space key to get my first keyframe. And then we need to find the exact moment that I think of myself as fully seated. And if you've already marked your discrete gestures, what I could do is watch in the properties tag to see when that sit gesture becomes true.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would know if it corresponded. So It says it's true there was probably the first one that I want the progress to look at. So
is that general guidance then that would be just tag all of your discretes first?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then usually, it's going to help your continuous.
Yeah, usually it's actually easier to tag discrete gestures. So, like, the tagging is a lot easier. It's the same stuff you're looking for, though, but don't, like, double your work. So, and we'll show how to not double your work by using the auto tag feature next. Cool. But, yeah, if I hit enter, there we have a lovely curve. If I wanted to add my midpoint again, you know, right about where my hips are aligned with the chair, we'll put in the 5, and now we've got a slight curve.
Though. Great.
So what we're going to do now is go ahead and save it. We're going to do an exercise in auto tagging. So we should shift back and make sure that that's what we want to do with the slides here. Okay, so we did manual tagging. Yeah, and auto tagging's next. So we'll go back to VGB. We'll expand this, make him big. Now for auto tagging, what I want to do is I'm actually going to show you a different solution, which is a little more complex. We're going to do the sample database that I showed with VGB view, which was the steering gestures. So in the steering gestures, instead of mapping a single gesture, the steer progress actually maps 3 different gestures. It maps to the steer left gesture, the steer right gesture, and the steer straight gesture. When you want to auto tag, what I typically do is with a new file that doesn't have any tags, I'll add it to analysis first. I like to do that because I'm not quite sure what the outcome will be if I need to, like, add it to, if I want to put it into training. So I like to just put all new clips into analysis, do my tagging there, and then once the tagging's done and analysis has been run, I make a decision if I want to keep that in analysis or move it into training.
And what is it, just talk for a moment about once you've done that, what are you looking at to then make your choice of keep it in analysis or move it into the
yeah,
tagging?
So I think we covered a little bit of it in the previous video, but what I tend to look for are missed events. So let's say I run analysis, and analysis completely missed one of my tags. It didn't find that gesture at all. Well, that one I want to move into training because the gesture recognizer doesn't know.
So let me just make sure I get the thought process. So analysis missed it, which means your training set was weak.
It. Yeah.
And so therefore you want to strengthen the training so then future analysis will catch it.
And so what you would do is you would either move that clip itself into training, which is actually easy. So if I go to here and right click again on my object, there's a move to training option, and it'll just take that clip, move it into the corresponding training project.
And it's going to keep all of the tags and everything.
Yep, everything will be preserved. So that's the coolest way. So let's look at one that's already been tagged real quick. We'll move this up just to show that this is a lot more complex than the one we just came from, which was the seated one. So this one, if we go through real quick, the value is roughly around 0.5 when my hands are held straight. So I'm in the steer straight position. And then what I wanted to do was dip down from 0.5 to 0 when I'm steering left. So once I hit the apex, I guess, of the steer left, I'm just going to keep it at 0. And then once I start moving back to steer straight, it will go back to 0.5. And if I start moving steering right, then it's going to go from 0.5 to 1. And again, at the top of that, it's going to just stay at 1. So this is a lot more work to go through and tag this.
You didn't do all these tags manually, did you?
So initially I did until we came up with the lovely auto tagging feature, which I'm going
to
demonstrate.
So are you saying that it was due to some frustration that you experienced on the team when you said we need to build this auto tagging? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at all those points, I mean, I could see that would take a while.
Yeah.
And not just for a single clip.
And you know, continuous gestures are hard, and even when you're doing the simple case, it's kind of time consuming because you already tagged it. You already tagged it for the discrete case. Like, why can't it just figure out that the beginning of, you know, one gesture and the end of the gesture corresponds to 0 and 1 in my continuous gesture?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what it will do. The only thing is it needs to know. So what you have to do is the case before where you have to have this clip has to have already been tagged with the corresponding A to boost gestures, the discrete gesture.
Uh-huh.
So if we look at, we want to double check that this one's been tagged. Let's find it. I believe they're all in the analysis folder files. So steer left, here's the clip. It has tags, good. Steer right, here's the clip. It has tags, so we're good. And then steer straight, analysis. Find the clip. Oops. Let go. Okay. And it all has tags.
So we know
for this one that I'm going to be able to run auto tagging on it. So
looks like it's a really smart choice to rename your clips, because by default you get this really long timestamp.
Yes. Horrible.
You've obviously renamed all of these so that it's easy, because I mean, it would be really hard to go and find the timestamp down to the millisecond level and all of those.
Yeah, and a lot of times when I have multiple gestures in a clip, like let's say I'm training a fly gesture and a glide gesture and a kick gesture, and they're not quite related, so fly and kick, they don't quite go together, then I'll name the clip fly click, you know, fly kick, you know, dot clip or something. And then if it's just a bunch of fly gestures, and I'll name it fly. You can come up with your own naming scheme, but yes, definitely do not rely on the Kinect Studio's naming convention. You will quickly become lost and, not be able to find the corresponding clips that you need. So that's the first thing I do. As soon as I'm done recording something, I rename it,
and then
I usually run it through KS Convert, and the generated one has the same name. So you kind of want to do that before you do.
So I'm clear, you're saying rename the raw.
Yeah, rename
then
the raw.
Then KS Convert keeps the same name in the compiled.
Yes. And you'll definitely, if you're dealing with raw clips, you want to make sure that the raw clip is always named the same as your processed, because what'll happen is when you want to regenerate those processed files, if they're not named the same, then the VGB clip files that are corresponding to the clips, they won't know who they're tied to. So you will have lost your tagging data.
Oh, so if I rerun the KS Convert, so I get new process clips, and if I just drop them back in to the project here, all the tags and everything will just be applied because they were at the file name.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, great, great.
Yep. All right, so we've got an empty progress clip. What we're going to go through is auto tagging. So on the analysis project, you can say generate tags. So what this one does when you have a continuous gesture is it will open this link gesture dialog. And what it wants you to do is select from the discrete gestures available in your collection and tell it which ones you want to correspond. So if I only wanted to have it do the steer left, I could just click this one. But I actually want it to correspond to all three and tie them together. And then what I want to do is specify what values should happen. So when the steer left is happening, what I said is I want it going from 0.5. Oh, yeah, I forget. So 0.5 to 0.
So here you're saying steer left, the end of steer left. So the end of steer left would be all the way steering left. So therefore, that's why it's 0. Because I remember when you showed it, you were like from 0 all the way to 1.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. So that's what we're going to map here. in our link gestures. So steer right was the other case where we want to go from 0.5 to 1. And then steer straight, I just want it to stay at 0.5 the entire time. So now we have a pretty much a continuous 0 to 1 values. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can generate those curves for us. So it's going to go through each clip that doesn't already have tags. Okay, he says he saved them successfully. So let's see what the output is. And we have some auto tags. So whenever you automatically generate tags, they'll show up in this lovely pink magenta color. Fuchsia, I guess.
We need a designer here, because those all sound right to me.
So you have lovely little pink tags when they have not been manually or human created. So what you want to do, though, is you want to go through and make sure that the tags that came up with are reasonable, and also decide if you want to add any midpoints. So usually the auto tagging is really, really good with continuous gestures about the beginning and end, because it's just going straight from the discrete gestures that you already gave it. But the middle gestures you might want to the middle tags you might want to adjust a little. So we'll go through real quick. So steer straight.
And you're okay, just watching for hands moving.
Yeah,
here?
I'm just watching the IR data really here and making sure that the value is 0.5 when I'm steering straight, and that as soon as I start steering left, which is going, it drops down to 0, which is great. So I'm pretty much at the apex. If I wanted to, I could say, well, I really want 0 to be here, and I'd put a space there if I want to be that exact, but it's pretty good. And as soon as it starts moving back, which it's doing now, I want to make sure it goes back to 0.5.
I want to just point something out to our viewers here, because I think it's really easy to get tripped up and start trying to outsmart and say, oh, is this mirrored or what? There's a handy, if you could just point the mouse up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a handy little L and a handy little R on the frame so that you know which side corresponds to which side in the real world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you're sitting there and you're going through this, when I don't look at those L and R, I'm like, wait a second. Is this from the perspective of the person who's seated facing the Kinect? And then that would be to your right. But no. It's mirrored, right, in this way. So just use the L and the R, and you're always going to know which is
right
and left.
No, I always do. It's like, it's your left. It's your right. It's not, the image you're looking at.
That's
you don't
right.
need to flip it in your head.
Yeah.
So, and actually, if we'll jump real quick just to show. So if I move to a steer right clip, and we'll go ahead and come back to this in a second, but if I move to steer right, you'll see that the only R is shown in this case. And that's just to kind of help you that if you're switching between gestures, like using it over here, that if I go to steer left, then now L shows up, and jump back to steer right.
And it knows that because when you set up those projects for those individual gestures, you said which side it corresponds to.
Yeah, I said it was a sided gesture. So the steer straight is not a sided gesture, and that's why you'll have both L and R, which is the same as our steer progress. You're going to have L and R.
Right.
Because it is not a sided gesture. Now, so we're going to go back to our little clip. Again, you pretty much just go through and make sure that these are pretty reasonable. I said a lot of times the only thing that I found that I need to change are midpoints. So sometimes like I'm like, oh, this happened a little earlier, or maybe I want to extend, the bottom out there. Little slight curves like this, I don't worry about. If I wanted to straighten this out a bit, then I could put in a 0.5 and make the line straighter if I, really wanted a solid 0.5 mm-hmm. there. But for my needs, this is actually pretty accurate. And so after I'm done going through and scrubbing the clip, then what I can do is I can accept the tags. So if you reject the tags, it will delete all of
So if I screw up and I hit reject, I can just do what you did before.
You can just re-auto
and I'll get it right back.
Yeah. And get it back.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say accept the tags. They turn blue. That indicates that they have been reviewed by a human. And now they're considered human tagged, you know, clips. And, you know, so you can use them in training.
And VGB doesn't get upset that you've taken all the credit for that?
No. It likes it because it's less work. So. So this is a second clip that actually went through auto tagging. And what I want to show real quick is that sometimes in a continuous gesture, you will have areas that are invalid. So again, like I was recording my clip, and I wanted it that when the user takes their hands off of the steering wheel, that steering is no longer occurring. Unfortunately, again, like continuous gestures always have a value. So even in auto tagging, it's going to try to give it a value. For me, this can kind of be a little confusing when you're trying to go back through analysis and you want to compare just the frames that are valid versus invalid. So what I like to do is I like to select the last keyframe and then go shift the control and arrow key and then actually delete the section that's invalid. So for me, that's a great visual of, you know, where I should ignore analysis results.
Okay.
And stuff. So
yeah, it's not very safe driving if you're driving with your hands off the wheel. Like
yeah.
That.
So and this would also, you know, would correspond to if you were to play the clip back in VGB view. This is an area that you shouldn't see any of the gestures, any of the discrete gestures firing.
Okay. So what would you see for progress there?
It would still give you a value.
Okay.
But it's just going to be whatever it. You know, it thinks.
So this what you're saying is this is just more of a visual for you as you're in here doing your work that this is a range of invalid data.
Yeah, so it's definitely not a necessary to go through and delete them. I like to just so I know, you know, which clips have invalid data inserted. Like RFR progress, it's not quite the same as discrete where you need negative and positive examples. But you're going to inherit a lot of those negative clips because you're using the same clips from your discrete projects. And so there's going to be a lot of sections that aren't valid that don't correspond to the discrete gestures that you selected. And this is and when you go through it and try to understand the analysis results, they're going to be messy. And so for me, like if I'm visually inspecting the clip and trying to see if analysis is right about its analysis, this gives me a really good clear way to do that.
Okay.
So I'll just show if I reject the tags.
Oh.
Ta-da! They're gone.
All that work.
Yeah, well, and I could get it back because I haven't saved it. So I'll say, no, don't reject it, and they're back again.
Oh, that's handy, yeah.
But I actually do because I don't like them. So the only other thing I want to show, though, is and we've been spending a lot of time on continuous gestures, that it'd be nice to go back and see, hey, is there an auto-tagging option for my discrete gestures? Because, you know, when I'm building a prototype, I'm dealing with, like, tens of clips, which isn't so bad. But when I start trying to, you know, create gestures for production, I suddenly have hundreds of clips, and now tagging is a bear.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How can I get my tagging to be faster and more consistent? And that would be with the auto-tagging feature that's also available on our discrete gestures. So what I want to do here is we're going to go ahead and delete the tags in one of these clips. So again, we're going to go shift and delete. Now I don't have any. I'm going to move off of it. Now, when you're dealing with the discrete gestures, it is a different process. So if I right click, you'll know I don't have a generate tags button. And a part of that is because you're not going to be doing any linking. So there's not another gesture that you could use in order to, you know, create tags off
right.
of. So what you're going to have to use is actually your database. So you can't start using auto tagging until you have a base database. So until you have your prototype at least created.
Okay. How many clips are you thinking you need at a minimum before you could start venturing into auto land?
So it really, really depends on the gesture. But I find... even five. Like, if it's a really simple gesture, like, five clips are great. A little more complex, 10. You know, a really tiny, minute gesture that takes a lot of stuff, then you probably need about 20 before you're going to get start getting, you know, accurate results. But, yeah, anywhere from, like, 5 to 20, and you probably have a pretty good prototype that now you can start applying that. And the interesting thing is once, like, so I like to work in batches. So usually I'll work in batches of 10 to 20 clips at a time. So I'll go build a database, like my prototype that has 10 to 20 clips. I'll run it through a few tests and analysis, see how it does. Then I'll go back and I'll record another set of clips, like 10 to 20, that have, you know, additional data, maybe a few more negative cases, you know, positive cases at different angles. And then I'll add them to the analysis folder. And that's where I like to do, you know, my first set of tagging is always an analysis. And part of that is because I can use this. So I like to work in 10 to 20 clips because it's fairly manageable.
Okay.
Anything bigger than that actually becomes a lot harder to manage.
Well, it almost seems like just visually 10 to 20 would fit in a single view without scrolling over there.
Yeah.
Is that part of it?
Yeah.
So you're not spending a bunch of time just searching.
That's
up
actually
and down
a big part. So.
So if you had a really high resolution monitor, maybe you could venture into
and
more clips.
For me, I also like, after I've done my analysis and my tagging, I like to go back through and say, okay, you know, out of 10 clips, I want to keep that ratio of keep 2/3 for training and 1/3 for analysis. And so I kind of like to do that as I go on and be like, all right, you three clips are going to stay in analysis. The rest go off into training.
I see.
Okay. And so I like to do that. And I typically actually like to work with two different copies of the same solution. So one is like my production one, and then one is my training development one, where I'm doing all of the tagging. And when I've decided finally that, oh, this one is good for training, then I actually add it to training in the production one. But I don't touch the you know, final released version, I guess, until I've figured everything out in my development version.
Good.
But so we're gonna go ahead and run this against our steering database.
Sorry, remind me what you just did here, because we kind of got off on a tangent there.
Yeah, let's redo
it real
quick.
So you've got steering clip zero with no information. We want to auto-tag it. So you went to the analysis, and then you did what here?
So we're going to right-click on the analysis folder, and we're going to say analyze. So you're going to select a database that you want to use for analysis. So this is the normal analysis process that we went through in the first video, and it's basically just going to go through, and it's down here you'll see what it's doing. It's saying which, you know, clips it's analyzing for the gesture.
Okay.
And then once it's done, so we saw, oh, it, you know, it analyzed the clip that doesn't have any. Once it's done, you can start going through each clip. These ones were already tagged, but what you get is you get this generate tags button, which kind of was like the right-click generate tags option from before. Now, for this, we don't need to generate tags, and I would say don't generate tags on clips that have already been human tagged. So if I were, I'll just show you what happens. If I were to hit generate tags, it will basically tack on everything that you hadn't tagged and fill up the analysis result. So the problem was, so we're going to Control Z to undo. So we're going to undo that. The problem was that usually the human tagging is more accurate than the analysis.
Right.
And a lot of times,
so human tagging
you'll find
is the blue bar.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's always blue when it's been accepted and set, and someone has signed off, you know, from quality saying this is a good and well tagged clip and ready for, you know, training. So, or analysis. But, so what I find is that usually analysis, depending on how well your gesture is that it's a little late in detecting the gesture, and then it's a little long in letting go and figuring out that it's, you know, over. And that's pretty consistent across most of them, as you almost always have a tell. So what you'll find here is when we switch to the clip that doesn't have any tags, nothing's tagged. But when I generate tags, it's going to go by the analysis result. And now I have start and end values for my from my tags. Now, so what I need to do, oops, is go back and correct that. So what I need to do is go through and remember that it's usually a little late in detecting, so I probably need to add a couple frames. So we'll, this is the steer left gesture. So as my hand starts steering left, which is pretty good right there, I like to hold shift and arrow and then press enter in order to add those missing frames.
So all you need to do is just overlap that range.
Yeah.
You hit enter and it's just going to say everything in that range gets,
yeah,
gets tagged.
And then I single step through and typically, again, it holds on to the gesture longer than I want it to, which at this point is as soon as my hands start moving back to the right. So I'm going to go and just press delete.
Okay.
And so that's how you're going to clean up,
yeah,
you know, your discrete tags. So there's still some work.
Yeah.
But again, as your database becomes accurate, those gaps actually narrow quite a bit.
So. Well, I mean, it's so nice because, you know, I was at a hackathon recently and I was showing some of the participants how to use this. And so there, when we record and then we move straight to tagging, you kind of remember, you're like, oh,
yeah,
I did the gesture three times, and you can very quickly go and find it. But if you haven't looked at the clip for a while, or if you've never seen it before, or even, you know, knowing, you know, roughly where it is, this would save so much time because all you're doing is clean up instead of,
yeah,
scrolling through and finding that frame where it starts. You,
yeah,
know? So it's
so especially again as your database becomes more accurate, then that definitely is like the most time saving part, is that it knows where the gestures are. It's finding them. The only difficulty is when your database isn't so accurate, or you throw a gesture at it that it, you know, a slight variation to the gesture that it doesn't quite recognize, because analysis won't find it. So you still need to, before you hit the accept tags button, so after I've, let's say, modified all of my tags, I still like to just go through, hold down this arrow key, and quickly scrub the clip. Say, okay, steer left happened. Okay, that's a right, so we don't need it. Right, don't need it. Steer left happened. Right, left happened. Right, steer straight. So I just make sure that every steer left in that clip was marked.
Yeah,
and
that
then,
makes sense.
Yeah, and then I'll accept it before moving on. So, all right.
Oh, and of course, so. I wasn't. We weren't looking at the, as you were just going through that on the video here. So sorry, you heard Angela narrating, but we didn't,
yeah,
see it on the video.
We'll
there.
Go quickly, like press the home key, hold down the arrow key as you go through.
Yeah, so this is the visual of what you were just talking
through.
Steer
left happens, steer left happens, and then make sure that this whole gap where nothing's tagged, there are no steer lefts, steer left happens.
Right.
Steer left happens. So, and I go, you know, every single frame, make sure none are left out. So, yep. So that's pretty much auto tagging. We're not going to save that. And so we're going to move on to our next and final section, which we covered some of this during our discussion, but here's some just general training tips and techniques. So one is to keep the gesture simple. So we kind of, you know, talked about the Hadouken gesture and how you need to break it down into multiple parts, and that you can use, you know, continuous gestures to recombine and make it more complex if you want to. The other tip is to avoid over-labeling. So for this, what I like to think about is you want to tag the core portion of the gesture. So you want to avoid tagging preparation motions and recovery motions. So for example, if you were doing a punch gesture, the preparation motion would be me bringing my arms up into the punch and maybe sitting like this for a bit. The only part of the gesture that I'm going to tag is as soon as this fist begins moving forward, and as soon as it stops and is fully extended, I'm going to stop tagging. So I'm not going to tag anything where the arm is coming back. So again, no preparation, none of this. tag only this, and then don't tag any of that.
And why is that? Why not over-label?
So part of it is confusing to the machine learning algorithm. So what you want to do is help the algorithm figure out what's important. Like, what does it need to pay attention to in order to discover, you know, what this gesture is? And also, usually you don't have just one gesture you're using in an application. You have multiple. And so you want to remove anything that might conflict. So if I have a punch gesture, but then I also have like a gesture where I need my arm coming up and then out to the side. Well, if I had tagged the part where my arm came up for the punch, and then when I needed my arm to come up for this one, well, it would be looking for the arm to come up, because the machine learning, it tries to find like the first frame it thinks the gesture is going to happen. Which might be the preparation motion. So because you tagged it.
Right.
So if you want to remove preparation, then you definitely don't tag anything.
But let's stay with your punch example for a second. So what if I'm making a karate simulator, right? And I actually need to know that I've cocked my hand in the right way and I'm in the ready position. Would I tag that then? Like, this is its own gesture.
Yes.
So sort of like your Hadouken, right?
Yeah.
You had the prep and the charge, and then you threw it.
Exactly.
So it would just be a. So you're saying, don't over tag one single gesture to incorporate a bunch of unnecessary movements.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you need to detect a preparation, that itself is a gesture. Yes, and it's a separate gesture, separate motion from the actual punch.
Okay.
So, which is actually leads to our next tip, which is separate your gestures from your poses. So you want to avoid mixing and matching frames of static poses with dynamic gestures. And in this, one of the cases I like to use is flap versus glide. So in a flying game, I've got a flap where my arms are moving up and down, and I have a glide where they're just staying straight out, or the T pose, as you also call it. So, so I'm not going to tag any of the motion, or I'm not going to try to mix them, because I need those two gestures to be distinguishable from each other. So both of them have arms fully extended, but for the flap, I'm not gonna start tagging it until motion starts occurring in the downward position. So as soon as I see frames where motion is going down, that's when I start tagging. As soon as the motion stops going down, that's the end of the gesture. I typically won't do the up fly, but you could do up as a separate gesture. So you'd have a down flap and an up flap. But again, if you want to have a glide, you want to make sure none of that the times when the user is completely extended and just staying out in a glide, that none of those frames are captured in one of the two flap motions.
Okay.
So the third one, which you can't harp on this one enough, is be consistent in your tagging. Try to find, references either in the clip itself. Typically what I like to do is use the body itself. So the skeleton is like, okay, I know, this certain angle is where I need to, pay attention to changes. So you want to make sure that the start and end points are the same across all gestures and all of your clips. You want to make sure that you don't skip any gestures. Again, if you forget to mark a gesture, then you're going to miss this last part, which is, verify tagging. You need to make sure that you don't miss any tags, because the machine learning is going to become really confused if you throw at something that should have been the gesture and you're suddenly telling that it's not the gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Its confidence value is going to tank.
Okay.
It's not going to be as confident about recognizing the gesture anymore if there's even one, invalid tag in there. So, same case as if you end up tagging something positive that shouldn't be positive. Don't confuse this guy. So, you want to give it good information. I think the last thing I did want to show was something that you need to watch out for, which, let's see, which are sometimes when you record clips with Kinect Studio or with Kinect, the skeleton fails to lock on. And I just wanted to show some examples of bad skeletons. So ideally, after you record a clip, you would want to play the clip back and make sure that the skeleton is tracking before you ever add it to your gesture projects. However, sometimes they slip in and you'll end up getting some bad clips during tagging. And so it's really important when tagging that you also pay attention to the image of the skeleton and make sure that it's doing what is expected, because again, BGB trains off of the skeleton data.
Okay.
It doesn't, right now, it doesn't look at depth or IR. You have that as a reference to help you in tagging. The machine learning doesn't. All it has is the skeleton. So we're gonna show an example real quick of some bad clips that for me, I just like to totally throw out. So what I find is, you know, about almost 10% of the clips that I've recorded end up getting thrown out. It's, you know, between about 5 and 10%. A lot of times it's worse if the clip is shorter or if the gesture happens immediately. So, for example, this one, the woman is sitting down. If we play it back, we'll find that no skeleton ever appears on this screen.
Okay.
And so this clip has no data for the machine learning to learn from. So we would just not include it in our training set or in our analysis set. This one is an example of someone standing. Again, the body never locks on. You know, sometimes the body just fails to lock on. Seated is harder unless the user like leans forward a bit to get Kinect's attention. Sometimes they'll just disappear into the couch and the sensor won't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure that that's not what's happening. This guy, if we look
in the far back corner. Is that a lamp?
Yeah. Again, he's really back there and the skeleton, you know, never finds him. So...
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then a couple others. So this one, the skeleton actually locks on, but what we'll see is that the tracking will fail. So as the user's doing the motion, the skeleton decides to do something on its own. And so this here, we'll just try to get him a little bigger if we can, because this is the more difficult case to identify when you're doing your clips. Let's see. So we'll zoom in and we're going to go through and play. There, you see that we got a skeleton, but I've paused it to show that this clip was to train the head tap gesture. And you see she's tapping her head, but her hand actually is at her elbow still. So if I were to use that in my training set, I would be training it to identify when the hand's at the elbow instead of when the hand is
right.
is at the head. So I would need to throw that
out. Think the other lesson here is that I should only expect to use VGB for humans who have two arms. If somebody has three arms, that three arms is not going to work.
Yeah.
Because that's
sort
of what that looks like, right? It looks like she's got her one hand up at her head and then that other one stays out. And, yeah.
And sometimes it's really subtle. I mean, like, this is a really small motion.
It'll be easy to miss that in tagging.
It's really easy to miss, especially since a lot of times you're paying attention to the IR image, which is on the left, because it's usually the better image to tag from. But when you're scrubbing back through, try to always your second pass look at, you know, pay only attention to the skeleton. Make sure that skeleton is doing what it's supposed to do as well. So I think we'll go back to the slides now.
Yeah, I think we just had the one more one after this with some links on it, right?
And
some helpful links. So we've got a VGB white paper, aka.ms, K for WV2 VGB. So this is a white paper that's goes into depth and has a lot of helpful information in there. Of course, general information about Kinect for Windows and our blog is at kinectforwindows.com. We've got the K for WV2 purchase link if you want to know about the 23 countries in which we're currently selling the V2 sensor. SKU numbers, prices, all that. So if you're looking for a sensor, go to that link. We have a preview SDK. We've updated this a couple of times already. We're marching towards finalizing the release of this.
Another preview coming out really soon.
So. Another preview coming out soon, that's right. So definitely you can get the latest version there. Help at our developer forums, really active community there. And then, of course, we have our team's Twitter handle there. I'm at Ben Lauer. Angela's at A. Hillier.
One L.
And that's it. So, again, thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully you're still awake. Hopefully you made it through the end. I know these are some these videos were definitely a little bit long, but we wanted to get this information to you. You know, people like Angela on the team, you have so much experience and depth of expertise here. We're trying to get some of that information out and out there to our community to help you all. So again, thank you very much, and hopefully this was helpful. And we look forward to seeing you on another video at a future event. Who knows?
Thank you.
Thanks.